Before we get into James chapter 1, ironically, which begins in verse 2 of our study for today, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Fitting for what I was just mentioning, and fitting for where all of us find ourselves in living this life today. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the time that we have to be here today. I thank you very much for your Spirit who ministers to us daily. And I pray, Father, that for those who know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would experience the refreshing work of the Holy Spirit as he does his work of comforting, as he does his work of encouraging. Father, we also know that the Spirit of God, of you, is the great physician. And we just commit these many issues that are plaguing the people in our congregation to you. And as the great physician, we ask you to heal them. But Father, above all else, we want your will to be done. We recognize you as the sovereign, holy God, creator of the universe, and you will do whatever it is that you see fit. And we rest in the promise that you are going to give us enough grace to see us through these situations, these tough matters in our lives. So, Father, we just pray for the encouraging work of your Holy Spirit. We pray for wisdom. We pray for discernment. We pray that these opportunities that we have to praise and honor you in the midst of difficult situations would not be lost in the gravity of it or in the fact that we might feel down about it, but instead, Father, that you would receive all of the glory and praise as we view these in a way that is consistent with the faith that we proclaim. Father, we just pray that you would be with us as we continue our study in James. I thank you so much for the words that have been penned in this epistle, and I just pray that they would speak mightily to us this day. I pray, Father, that I would not be in any way an inhibition of what it is that you want to communicate to your people. I just pray that your Spirit's work would illumine these words and these truths. The work of illumination would be done so that we can clearly understand what it is that is being communicated to us today. Thank you once again for this time, Father, and pray that you would be with us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. So like I said, we're in James chapter 1, and we were successful in finishing off our examination of verse 1 last week. Let me just read for you the next portion of text that we're going to tackle between today and next Sunday. And we're going to be in verses 2 through 8 between this week and next week. Let me read that chunk of text with you. Verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." James' letter, remember, is written to Christian Jews who are scattered outside of Palestine and who are in need of encouragement and, might I say, admonishment. He is writing this letter and he has one really major goal in mind. He is speaking about the trials and the tribulations in the life of the believer. James's letter is about the testing of one's faith, or you could look at it as the proving of one's faith. What is the response of the believer to trials and tribulations, to difficulties in the life? That is what proves the authenticity of one's faith. So you've heard the popular expression, perhaps, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? Now, we've heard this expression before. This encouragement is actually quite consistent with biblical teaching. I don't know if you realize this, but think about it for a moment. Throughout the Bible are people who turn defeat into victory and trial into triumph in the Lord. And what is it but a sweet, or a sour, rather, fruit, like a lemon? You suck on it. That is not enjoyable. But when you mix that together with water and sugar, it becomes sweet and refreshing in the summer months especially. That is really the way we need to approach trials and tribulations in our life. But you know what? Easier said than done. But there's good news. And the good news is found in the teaching that James is going to give us today. There is greater reward when we are faithful to pursue victory in our trials. And you know what that great reward is? Spiritual maturity. And that is what James is trying to impress upon his readers. Spiritual maturity. That's what he wants to bring them to. So let's just take verses 2 through 4 today. We're going to deal with verses 5 through 8 next week. Let me just reiterate once again. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Here's where we're headed. Number one, expect to have trials. Number two, expect a variety of trials. Number three, expect intensity in trials. Number four, expect trials to challenge your faith. Number five, know God's purpose in trials. And number six, respond properly in trials. I know some of you are thinking right now, 6 points? Fear not, we're going to get through it. And it won't take all afternoon. So number one, expect to have trials. We find this in verse 2. Verse 2, God tells us to expect trials. Notice he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when. He doesn't say if. If we suppose that, he says when. It's a pretty definite statement that we are all going to experience trials. We are all going to experience trouble. We are all going to experience difficulties in this life. Raise your hand if at some point during this week you experience some sort of difficulty, an inconvenience perhaps. Okay. There you have it. How about before you came to church this morning? How many of you experienced something in the way of difficulty? Just about as many people whose hands went up before went up just now. So you see, you've proven the point that James is making here. It's a matter of when, not if. You know, the believer who expects that the Christian life is somehow going to be easy is in for a monumentally big shock. People in this world think that life should be easy. In fact, I might add that there's another entitlement among the mindset of people added to the list of entitlements they think they should enjoy, and that is that life should somehow be easy. The typical question people ask, especially among non-believers, is how can God allow bad things to happen to good people? Some won't come to faith in God because of this misunderstanding and this misapplication of one of the attributes of God. But he does allow bad things to happen, various kinds and intense kinds, and things that are going to shake our faith. But again, there's good news, and the good news is there's a reason for it, and there's a reward at the end of it. In fact, we have been warned repeatedly through the Scripture and by Christ himself that the Christian can expect trouble, that life will get more difficult upon conversion. Life will actually get more difficult upon belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not easier. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, Jesus warned his disciples, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Why? He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus promises that we will have tribulation. We will have difficulties. The Scripture is replete with evidence that trials are a certainty. Some of you are studying the life of Job right now in Sunday school. Job chapter 5, verse 7, he says something quite interesting. Job says, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's an interesting way to put it. from the servant Job. Man's sin nature is kind of like a bonfire that spits up sparks and it ignites a world of trouble, so to say. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. Jesus himself was not able to avoid trouble. And he said to his disciples, "You are those who have stayed with me in my trials." In my trials. Jesus experienced trouble while on this earth. God does not shelter us. We are told that we must experience trials. We're humans, and there will be sickness. There will be accidents. There will be disappointments. There will be tragedies. God does allow bad things to happen to good people for good reason. And for the Christian, Peter issues this promise. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you." Nothing strange at all. It's normal. We are told that we should expect trials. Trials are a certainty. Point number two. Expect a variety of trials. Now, before we get to that word variety, let's just take a look at something else. He uses the word when you meet. And when you meet, first, the word meet does not suggest, kind of like the point I was just making, it does not suggest some sort of an accidental encounter or an unexpected surprise. You can translate it encounter or come across. A Christian certainly doesn't face trials because they weren't smart enough to avoid them properly. That's not why we encounter trials, because we're too dumb to get around them. That's not it at all. The Christian can't outsmart, prevent, or hide from trials. Trials have no trouble finding us, as you illustrated for me just mere moments ago. The idea is that as we live our lives going along, minding our own business, and the opportunity for trials is just always there. And it doesn't matter what we're doing. When we drive, when we walk, when we talk, when we think, when we stand in a crowd of people using profane language, when we watch television, when we see a billboard, it doesn't matter. Trials are all around us. They come from without, from the outside. And when we fail the trial, it becomes an internal impact, and it can become temptation. And when we succumb to that temptation, then it becomes sin. Trials are not bad. Trials are actually intended for the good. The Greek word here used to describe trials is describing trials is various or very colored. So when he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds," that's what we should picture, something that is very colored. So Peter used the same word in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." It's the same word, very colored. The trials of life are not all alike. Here's the principle. The trials of life are not all alike. They come in various shapes and various sizes. They can be disruptions. They can be annoyances. They can be inconveniences. They can be frustrations. Others are more serious, like tragedies, even death. This is what makes them hard to prevent and avoid. There's always a new test. And sometimes you just happen upon it. You don't plan for it. You don't expect it. But there can be a good outcome if we have the correct mindset in the trial. God arranges and mixes the colors and experiences of this life, and the final product should be a beautiful thing for His glory. Now, I realize that when we talk about something like trials and tribulations, and we pick apart a verse, and if we're not making appropriate examination, we can get quite cliche-ish in what we're talking about here. Now, come on, just pick up the trial. Just be happy about it. I mean, it's a choice. It's not that simple. But God's word is pretty specific and it corroborates itself. Let's continue to our third point. Expect intensity in trials. The key word here is testing. Count it all joy, verse 2 and then verse 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith. Well, this is the word here, testing. We can be sure to expect that our life will consist of repeated trials and tribulations, and it will not end. It will just keep cycling over and over and over again. It can get intense as well. Trials will be present in every age of our life, every economic level, every phase, and sometimes as the enemy bears down, those trials can seem to overwhelm. Job. Most of us are familiar with the study and the life of Job. Job was tested by our vantage point beyond what we could possibly imagine. The cumulative impact of such sudden and comprehensive loss would seem inconceivable. Job's circumstances, though, in the course of a day, he received tragic news after tragic news after tragic news. His circumstances were tough. They were intense and getting progressively worse with each new struggle. But he's a rare and valuable example for us because he passed the test. Job refused to turn his back on God, and this is the testing that proves the authenticity of one's faith. And when our trials grow in intensity, our growth opportunity increases. Intensity in trials is kind of compared to working out. And by the looks of me, you can tell I don't do a whole lot of working out these days. But a basic workout involves some level of fitness. An intense workout, however, and repeated over time, is going to yield visible results. Maybe I'll get intense with my workouts and you'll see visible results. And here's a wonderful promise concerning our tests and our trials. Listen, remember this verse when your trials seem to overwhelm you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Listen, folks, despite the fact that we are going to expect trials, they're going to happen, and that they are going to be varied in nature, and they will be intense, we can rest in that promise that no temptation or no trial, no trouble, no difficulty has overtaken you that is not common to man. He will provide a way of escape, speaking of temptation, that you may be able to endure it. Persevere is the word that is used there. Point number 4, expect trials to challenge your faith. Expect trials. Listen, the target of trials is faith. That's the target of the trial. So verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith, testing of your faith, that's the object of the trial, is the testing of your faith. Listen, trials target us right at our core, our faith. Faith is what goes through the testing, but it is our faith that is strengthened if we remain faithful in the midst of that trial. When God called Abraham to live by faith, he tested him in order to increase his faith. That was the goal. God always tests us in order to bring out the best. But Satan tempts us to bring out the worst. Did you catch that? God tests us to bring out the best. Satan tempts us to bring out the worst. The testing of our faith proves that we are truly born again because salvation is the result of faith. This is the answer to that societal question that we hear over and over and over again among non-believers. Why do bad things happen to good people? The answer? To test the genuineness of their faith. Solid faith is going to persevere. Solid faith will persist. Faith that is not genuine will crumble. Faith that is not authentic is going to run away. Faith that is not real blames God. Faith that is not real is not going to be sustained. Sadly, the world's response to trials, which is to reject God as a result of this improper view of Him, proves that they don't trust God and their faith is not real. They don't have believing faith. Don't let that be said of you. Trust God. Know His goodness and have faith in trials. Testing works for us, not against us. Consider that word testing. Testing can be translated approval or proof, or proving, we might put it. Our trials, the testing that we endure, proves the authenticity of our faith. And when that faith is proven genuine, we receive God's approval. Again, Peter helps us understand in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. There are a lot of parallels between James' epistle and Peter's epistle. Verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's approval of our faith is precious. There's value in that. And when we go through the trial and our faith in its genuineness is proven, that is more valuable than gold. And that's why we are tested. It encourages us when we go through the trial and we come out the other side and we've benefited from what God has done. We benefit in this way, strengthened faith. And it affirms for us the faith that we believe that we have. To reiterate, trials work for the believer, not against the believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 still rings true. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And he said it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this light momentary affliction, think about that. We don't think about these varied trials that also vary in intensity, are light and momentary. Right? But he says, comparatively speaking, keeping in view the bigger picture, that this light momentary affliction is preparing us for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's our ultimate objective. That's our ultimate hope. And that's what sustains us. Point number 5. Know God's purpose in trials. Why? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. Another way of putting it? Patience. Trials, when endured in faithfulness, help us to mature. What does God want to produce in our lives? He wants to produce patience. He wants to see endurance. Patience, and the ability to trust Him continually when things get tough. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, Paul says, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In the Bible, patience is not a passive sort of acceptance of circumstances. That's not patience. I'm just going to kind of wait it out. Eventually it's going to end. I'm just going to try to grit my teeth and grab something that's going to remain affixed until this is over. That's not patience. You've got the wrong mindset in that moment. Patience in the Bible is not a passive acceptance of circumstances. It is a courageous, perseverance in the face of suffering and difficulty because of the hope that we have, which is in Jesus Christ and the ultimate plan that He is going to fulfill in our lives. And recognizing from the beginning of the trial that it is indeed for our good, and that we know that we are not going to be burned up as a result of the trial, but we're going to come out on the other side as if we have been purified like gold. That's why we go through the trials. But I am going to submit to you that it is not easy. This man standing right here is included in this charge. It is not easy in the face of it to have that sort of a perspective. I told a few people earlier this week that when I opened up on Monday night my Bible and I read the passage that I knew that I was going to be tackling. Now, usually I try to set Monday aside, and I'm really busy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, getting ready with all the myriad of other things. You wouldn't believe what happened this week. I mean, Satan knows my weakness. I have a bunch of them. But one in particular is getting frustrated with circumstances. As an immature believer, I've suffered with that in the past. And a proof in the pudding, I can go all the way back to my teen years, and when I go home, I'm reminded of my immaturity every time I look at my parents' kitchen door that has a patch mark in it because I put my fist through it as a teenager. I got frustrated with my circumstances. Yet again, I didn't perform in school the way that I should have. I knew what was coming to me. I was going to be yanked off of my basketball team, of which I was the captain for junior and senior years. I was on my way to play in college, and I knew I was going to be yanked off again because I once again didn't fulfill the expectations academically that I was supposed to fulfill for my mom and dad. And so I pulled that thing out of the mail, opened it up, even though it was given to my parents because I knew what it was from the school, and I was, boom, right through the door. Stupid. I was immature at that age. And God does His work in us by, if you are genuinely a believer, you're not perfect. But if you're genuinely a believer, those weaknesses are eventually going to be conquered through the work of God as He brings you through trials and allows you to have more moments like that where you can choose. Am I going to put my fist through the door, or am I going to be bigger than the circumstance and recognize who I am before Jesus Christ? Amen? And that's the kind of perspective that we need to have about our trials, that they are designed to refine us. They are designed to improve us, and they are designed to mature us. That's how we should view our trials. That was a little bunny trail that I didn't plan to go on. Now you know what my weakness is. Faith, impatience, and unbelief go together, just as faith and patience do. And through the process of sanctification, or being made holy, or growing, maturing in the faith, those things are going to be broken down by difficult circumstances so that the Lord God can do His work in shaping us into the believer that is going to bring Him all of the glory. And we have choices as to how we are going to respond. Impatience and unbelief go together just as faith and patience do. Why? Faith fuels patience. Trying to develop patience in the flesh, or just willing it, is a frustrating pursuit. Honestly, it's got to be a yieldedness to the work of God. Remember, patience is one fruit of living in the Spirit of God. And it's the result of faith in Him. Well, we are going to experience various trials and continually. And those trials are going to target our faith. Endurance, listen, cannot be attained by reading a book. You cannot attain endurance by listening to a sermon. You cannot attain endurance by praying a prayer. We must go through the difficulties of life. We must learn to trust God. And we need to learn to obey Him. And the valuable result will be patience and the development of character. Knowing this, We can face trials joyfully. We can know that trials will do in us and for us, and we know that the end result will bring glory to God. God is going to fulfill His purposes as we trust Him. A final point. Respond properly in trials. I just touched on this a little bit, but let me just unpack this very first word in the passage, count. Because it actually means something. It's a financial term. I'll get to it in just a moment. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. It means to evaluate, count. Count means to evaluate. When we face the trials of life, we have to evaluate them in light of what God is doing for us. Assess the purpose of the trial. Count them as good and right because God is good and right, and He allowed that. How many commuters do we have in here? You commute either into New Jersey or New York. How many of you remember the fateful commute back home to Pennsylvania when we spent 8 hours on Route 80? Carrie remembers because she and I texted for 8 hours. I learned in that moment a number of things. Number one, I have a titanium bladder. There's nothing I could do. I'm trapped on 80 in between exit 12 and exit 4. I was going nowhere. And man, I had already gotten my large coffee for my ride home. I also learned that God is going to get me to where He needs to go, even if I don't have gas. My gauge was above the halfway point, but by the time I got down into the S-curves and saw that tractor trailer that was flipped over, the light had been on for a while. I wasn't sure I was going to make it. But you know what? Carrie and I were able to communicate. Carrie was sending me encouraging messages. She was ready. Carrie was. She literally said this. If you pull over, I'll see you when I go by. You run out of gas, you just hop in my car. You can get your car another time. I mean, that was a moment, a situation that ended up connecting two believers in Jesus Christ within a local body fellowship. So, and you know what? Carrie, in encouraging me throughout all that time, was God's instrument to help me to not get frustrated with my circumstances. We both missed the softball game that day. Neither of us could play, but it was okay. And I just remember that moment of not feeling the anxiety that I typically would feel and then have to deal with. Listen. Respond properly in trials. If you are genuinely a believer in Jesus Christ, He will give you plenty more opportunities to respond properly. That is a certainty. And how about if we just try to get it right a little sooner so we don't have to have repeated instances? This explains why the dedicated Christian can have joy in the midst of trials, because the faithful believer lives for the things that matter most. The long-term perspective reminds us of the patience we need to have. The short-sighted perspective focuses on get me out of this situation as soon as possible. That, of course, is called impatience. Listen, even Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, who for the joy that was set before Him. What? Jesus approached the cross and had an attitude of joy, because He knew what the blessed hope was, which was to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and He knew what the purpose was for Him going to the cross was to achieve. And that gave Him joy. Let me assure you, as a student of history, there's nothing joyful about the most cruel and unusual death devised by antiquity than crucifixion to a cross. Yet He approached it with joy. Our values determine our evaluations. Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, trials are going to upset us. If we value the material and the physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, then trials are going to make us bitter, not better. The proper perspective spoken by Job, chapter 23, verse 10, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." That's a proper perspective. Listen, Job is not a superhuman. He experienced unbelievable hardship. But Job was flesh and blood just like you and me. But Job is a very unusual example for us of the mindset or the perspective that we should have in the face of difficult situations. Outlook determines outcome. To end with joy, we have to begin with joy. Our response to trials says a lot about our faith. Kids, hold up your clipboards. Come on, man. Come on. There we go. People look around. See, these clipboards are designed with we call it a kid's bulletin. They've got notes. And give me a thumbs up with your other hand if you're taking notes. All righty. So listen, I've given you fair warning. Listen up, guys. You're going to have something to write down. I'm quite sure of it in just a moment. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. That's a biblical expression, as we said, and it's true for the believer. Listen, problems are a lot like lemons. They are yucky and hard to like if you just suck on the lemon. You should have a blank space to fill in there, boys and girls. But God helps us to learn from our problems, which makes our lives fun and sweet like lemonade. And James tells us that not only can we, but we should turn our trials into victories if we have the proper perspective concerning the trials of life. We can be certain that trials will come. They will be varied. They will be intense. And the main target of those trials is going to be our faith, which is being tested so that God can bring out the best in the believer who is patient and endures. Our response to trials reveals where we are spiritually. You want to know where your spiritual walk is and the level of your maturity? Honestly self-reflect on how you respond to trials. And that is going to be a really good test. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time that we've been able to spend around your word. And I thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in making it clear for us. And I just pray, Father, that your word would continue to return to us throughout the course of this week, reminding us of how it is that we should be responsive to the trials that are brought into our life. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you that we can expect them. You've promised that. We thank you that you served as an example of how to approach trials. We thank you, Father, that they're varied. We thank you also that there's intensity with them. We thank you, Father, that it challenges our faith because we know that the outcome of these trials is going to be strengthened faith. We thank you, Father, that we have a choice, that you've created us with a will, that you've created us with intellect, and we have the ability to rest in the promises that you have laid out for us. Father, we just pray that you would help us with these dear people at Calvary Bible who are experiencing the many trials and tribulations of life. I commit them to you and pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will give us wisdom and discernment in order to deal with these trials that we face daily in our lives. Be with us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.